Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the Word of God in this preparatory service from the scripture part that we have been reading, 1 Kings 3, and I read especially as a text verse for the sermon, verse 9, 1 Kings 3, verse 9, where we read, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" The theme for the sermon is the wish of Solomon. 3 points of attention. First point, a good start. The second point, how it continued. And the third point, how it ended. The theme is the wish of Solomon. 3 points, a good start, how it continued, and how it ended. Congregation, I still remember, boys and girls, the first time that we visited South Africa. We thought that will be the only time, you know, but we ended up to live there. But first time there was a missionary working there, and so I went to preach in a church like Providence, you know, such a church, let's say 100 people. I was there for 6 weeks, and then we visited also the mission field with a missionary from the Netherlands, and we visited a teacher of the Sunday school, and he lived in a different house than we live in. It was made from iron, steel, you know, those, that stuff that we cover our, maybe our roof of the barn. The walls and the roof, all of that steel, and you can imagine if it is hot, and it was hot. You can imagine how hot it is inside. And we were there sitting inside and sweating, and we read the scripture part, and then afterwards the missionary said to that Sunday school teacher, after talking a while about meditating about that scripture part, he said, "Well, what would you like most to receive?" And he thought for a while, and I was wondering what he would say. I thought, well, maybe he will say that I see many of my children at the Sunday school be converted. Or to be with the Lord. Something like that. But after thinking for a while, he said, "Well, I would like to have a house of bricks." And, you know, it was a little bit disappointing for me, but I understood, because if you have to live with your family in such a house, and he was trying to build a house, I could see it already, and it will make such a difference for him in daily life. So I understood the answer, but it was, at least it was honest of him to say that. And then the missionary said, "But what about a house in heaven?" "Ah, yeah, that's true, that's far better." He agreed about that. "So what about you? If I would come to sit next to you and say, well, what is the biggest wish of your heart in life, boys and girls? What are you dreaming about? What are you desiring with your whole heart? If I could only get this." Yeah, I know there can be many things, especially while you are young. And maybe you say, well, it's easy for you to talk about it. You're older already, and you've received many things of the Lord already to experience and to enjoy. And that is true. I understand when you are young, there can be so many desires in your heart. And I'm not saying that everything is wrong. Of course not. But what is your biggest desire? Still that question. Could you honestly say, oh, to know the Lord, to receive a heart to give glory to Him, a heart that is abhorring sin, and knowing Christ and loving Him, a wise heart, an understanding heart, like Solomon is asking here from the Lord. It's so wonderful that the Lord is coming to him, and is offering him this, that he could ask what he wants to have. Because if a man would say that, we would say, well, you know, you can say that, but probably you are not able to give what I want, what I desire. But the Lord is able to give everything. So the Lord is offering this to Solomon, that he could make a request, what he wanted to have. Yeah, what a wonderful situation. And now, yeah, what do people desire in this world? What would Solomon ask for? Would he ask for money? You know, most people like to have a lot of money. Because if you have money, you can buy all the things you need, and even more. And I'm not saying it is easy to be poor. But if money is the first thing in your life, you are at the wrong track. You are in danger. Scripture is very clear about that. Solomon is not asking for money. No. Well, that's wonderful. This young man is not... Well, he could get all the riches. He's not asking for that. He's not desiring that. So would he ask for long life? What are people doing to live long on earth? In my last Dutch congregation, there was a man who was younger than I am, and he had cancer, and he traveled over the whole world. He went to the United States, to Switzerland, to be treated and to heal, and he didn't. He passed away. Oh, what are people doing to live long on earth? And we can understand that because we are created to live, and it's only because of sin that death came in the world. But Solomon is not asking for that. To overcome his enemies, maybe. You see that people fight to overcome others. Or to pay them back what they have done against them. We see so many terrible wars in this world. And you can have it in a small situation, in families, in churches, in society. People fight to overcome others. Solomon is not asking for that. No. How humble is Solomon here? And we need such a humble heart. To see what we really need. And to make that request from the Lord. To plead, to beg, to pray for an understanding heart. In the Dutch translation it says a wise heart. And isn't it Solomon himself who was teaching that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Those two. Yeah. A certain way go hand in hand. You know, there's a difference between to have knowledge or to have an understanding heart. You can have a lot of knowledge in your mind, but to have an understanding heart, that's different. That you could say that is the application of knowledge in your heart. And we need that by the Holy Spirit, so that it is applied and that we apply to our own lives and our own hearts and souls. He's praying for that. Would you do that? Think about that. And Scripture says, well, wisdom is the most important, if it is that wisdom of the fearing of the Lord. And that is true. It will give you peace. It will give you such a deep joy and rest in your heart if you have that wisdom. Isn't this what is taught in the New Testament? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all other things will be given to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Will you do that, young people, boys and girls, adults? Today we have to search our hearts, and this week more than other weeks. We always have to do that. But in this week of preparing for the Lord's Supper, how is it in my heart? Isn't this a good question? What is my biggest desire? What do I want most in life? Or does the Lord have the first place? An understanding heart. Why? to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. Discern between good and bad. But Solomon must have been taught about that. He had a God-fearing father, David. So he certainly will have taught his children about the difference between good and bad. But still, Solomon is praying about it. And that is good. Because when we think, well, I can do that. I can discern between good and bad. I know what's good and what is bad. I can make those decisions myself. We are in a big danger. Because then we do not see how deceitful, how deceiving our hearts are. That our own hearts deceive ourselves. That my heart can say, well, this is good. It looks good, it feels good, but that doesn't mean that it is good. So we can be deceived by our own hearts, and we really need an understanding heart. We really need the Holy Spirit guiding and teaching us to discern between good and bad.
You know what happened in paradise? Adam and Eve. Eve saw the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and bad, and well, it was desirable. It looked good, and she took it, and she was eating it. And then she experienced how bad it was, because it was an act of disobedience to God, and that's making it dark in our hearts and lives. And it made them scared. It took the peace and rest out of the heart. And that's what sin is doing. And Satan will try to make sin look good. But we need an understanding heart to discern between good and bad. And it's only the Word of God that can make us, applied by the Holy Spirit, make us to have an understanding heart. We need it. Do you feel that need in your life? Oh Lord, I need an understanding heart. Satan will say, well, this is not so wrong. You can enjoy it. And then you enjoy that sin. And afterwards he will say, well, do you think that you can be saved? He tries to make us desperate. Oh, we need an understanding heart to escape the sneers and tricks of Satan. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. Pray for an understanding heart every day, that we might discern between good and bad, that we might discern in our own hearts how it is, and that we will see the evil that is still there, and that we will see the work of God in our own lives, to give Him praise and to humble ourselves and to see how much we need Christ daily. And now you say, but you know, well, the situation is that he is a young man and that he has to rule over a great people. That's true. But I'm not a king. I do not have to rule a people like Solomon had to do. Well, I understand, but yeah, he felt the weight, the burden of the responsibility that he had. And yeah, we can understand that when you are young in such a position. But at the same time, we should see that we all have a responsibility. If you are parents or grandparents, if you are a teacher at school, if you are an office bearer, or whatever we might be, what position we might have in society, in that company that you are working, you have colleagues, there are always people around us, and we have a responsibility. We cannot behave as if we are alone on this world. It makes a difference how we behave. They will watch us, and is a responsibility in certain situations if we keep silent or if we would speak and what we would say. I hope we see that responsibility that we have in this world. And I do not say that we are able to change hearts, but I know that the Lord is using men like instruments in His hands, whatever position we might have in society. So I hope you see that. And if you see that burden, you know, in a certain way, it is my responsibility what happens to the people around me. It can make such a difference to people around me that watch me and, you know, that will listen to me. Then we will see that responsibility as a burden in a certain way, that we will pray and kneel down and say, "Oh Lord, teach me today how to behave." And oh, that there might be opportunities, that there might be an opening to speak good from Thee, about Thee, from the Lord, so that they will seek Thee. How many times do we forget to do that? To see that every day is a day given by the Lord, a day of time of grace, that people can be saved. Yeah, then we will pray for an understanding heart, to discern, to judge between good, my discern between good and bad. What is right in this situation? What is wise to do? Should I be silent now or should I speak? And what should I say? So that our hearts might be touched and that the Lord might be glorified and that our souls might be saved. Oh, Solomon had such a good start. He was so humble. But how did it continue in his life? How did it continue? You probably know how it ended up in his life, how he at the end of his life, he started to bow down, to kneel before idols. And it is so hard to understand that this wise man that wrote those wise things in the books of Ecclesiastes and Proverbs and Psalms, that he, at the end of his life, was going astray in a certain extent. And maybe you say, well, okay, his life was right, but at the end it went wrong. But that is not true. It is so important that we see that there are already things in his life while he is still young that brought himself in danger. So that we will search our own hearts and see if there are those things in our lives. So the point that we have to understand is that when the Lord is starting to work in our hearts, that doesn't mean that there is no danger anyhow or anyway to fall in sin or to go astray. Although I know that the Lord will not forsake His children, that doesn't mean that we cannot fall in terrible sins and do a lot of damage and harm to our souls. When I was a boy and didn't know the Lord, when I was not converted, I thought, you know, when I will be converted, then it's easy. Because and everything is fine. Because your soul is saved, and that is true. But I thought, well, then you are like a ship sailing with the wind behind you, in an easy way, in the safe harbor. But I had to learn that there is a fight of faith and that Satan will always attack you and that you, your whole life, have that old nature that you have to fight against. I didn't understand that. But we can see that in the life of Solomon, and we should be aware of that in our own lives. Yeah, because It usually starts small, with the wrong things in our hearts and life. And it grows and grows. And oh, how did it end in the life of Solomon? So which things are there that we can say, well, you know, here we see already the danger, the wrong direction that he is going. It says in the beginning of chapter 3, and Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and out of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Can you imagine that? Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Well, Egypt, that was the place that they came from, that they had been in slavery. And it is a spiritual picture of the service of sin. So, you can say it's a dangerous place to go to. And the Lord has warned his people many times they shouldn't go to Egypt for help. And it seems that Solomon is doing that. Well, he's taking the daughter of Pharaoh as a wife. That is strange. It's against the will of God, because the Lord said they shouldn't marry the daughters of the heathens, the pagans. And there's no sign, there's nothing that is showing us that this daughter of Pharaoh is converted to the only true religion of the only true God. And he is taking her as his wife, and that's wrong. If we marry someone that doesn't want to fear the Lord, how can you be united? How can you bring children up to the glory of God if you are not one in seeking, fearing and serving the Lord? And I know there can be a difference between the assurance that you have of faith. But if a person says, well, I don't want to seek the Lord, I don't want to serve the Lord, then it's clear that it is impossible to marry. And he did it. He made affinity to the daughter of Pharaoh. Yeah, so he took a wife according to his own desire. So that's the way of the world, you could say. And here Solomon is doing that. And probably, maybe there is something else, another reason why he did it. It says, and he made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So there's a certain political alliance. To be strong and important in the world can be helpful to make affinity, to have an alliance to those great kingdoms in the world. And that's a dangerous thing. If we try to get the things in this world, not only trusting God, but seeking help of the world. And then you make yourself not only depending from God, but from the mighty ones in this world. And that is, yeah, that's an attack on the life of faith, of trusting the Lord alone. So here are some things in the life of Solomon that show that he is in danger. And there's something else. When you look at the end of chapter 6, it says that he was 7 years building the house of the Lord. And then in the beginning of chapter 7, it says, but Solomon was building his own house 13 years, and he finished all his house. So it took him 7 years to build the house of the Lord, and he spent 13 years to build his own house. So think about that. Almost double the time he spent to his own house. So, yeah, is that wrong? Well, it's shown something. How much we want to spend for the Lord and how much we want to spend for ourselves. So that can happen even to the children of God. that more and more the things of the world can come into your life and your heart. And I think even the children can understand that. You know, if your heart is full of the things of the world, or more than half full of the things of the world, there's less space, room for God. That's how it goes. And that's what happens so many times. We can be more and more busy with the things of the world and our own life. And yeah, like that seed that's growing up under the thorns of the weeds, and then there's no fruit. Yeah. So what we see in the life of Solomon, and there's nothing new under the sun, that's what we see today. It's about money and power and have a good life on earth and do the things according to your own desire, your own lusts. And that's not the godly life. That's not the life that a child of God should live. So let us search our own hearts, especially in this week of preparation. Do we know the Lord? Is to know Him more our first desire? And are there those things that can grow so easily? Things about getting more power in the world, make an alliance to the world, getting more luxury in the world, and getting the desires of our flesh. And they grow so easily, so strong, that we have less and less time, less desire to seek the Lord, to study His Word. Oh, we live in a difficult time. And I'm preaching to myself, you can be busy so easily with the things of the world, can spend so much time with all sort of things, and that it becomes so difficult to have a concentration, to seek the Lord, to understand the things of the Word, to study the Word, to meditate upon it. But if you do it in a prayerful way, and you find the riches of that, and you find the deep foundations of salvation in the Word, then you will say, oh, what a fool am I that I spend so much time through the things that leave my soul and heart empty. So, yeah, this is a week to be silent before the Lord more than other weeks. I hope you find the time and the desire, and that you will receive that peace and joy that you show, that show to you how good it is to know the Lord. Young people, children, you have to seek the Lord. Your soul has to be saved. But it's not like a burden, but it's such a joyful thing if we know Him more and more. I know. It's taking time and energy to study the Word. It's like digging to find the foundation. But there's such a great reward in seeking and fearing the Lord. And that means that we have to flee from those things that want to occupy us too much, so that we will not be able to seek the Lord. Before we continue, let us sing Psalter 192, stanza 1 till 6, Psalter 192, stanza 1. O gracious God, forsake me not. I am old and gray, that unto those that follow me I may thy might display. 192, stanza 1 till 6.
congregation, the third point is how it ended. When we read in chapter 11, verse 4, "For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord, his God, as was the heart of David, his father." You feel the pain, a child of God? It says in verse 1, "But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods." Solomon clave unto these in love. The Lord had warned him in his word clearly about it. And still he did it. Because it was a common thing in this time. The kings of the kingdoms around him did it. And he took their example. What a danger that we adjust ourselves to the world. And it was not only this. But we see already when he was young that it is said in chapter 3, verse 2, "Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days." And that is the thing that the Lord had forbidden his people. In the books of Moses, he also forbade them to sacrifice in high places, because that is where the heathen, the Gentiles, would sacrifice to their idols. So they had to be different. But then there's something special in the life of Solomon. It says in verse 3, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father." He loved the Lord. And he walked in his statutes. So there was an obedience, a desire of obedience in his heart. But some of those things were not according to the will of God. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. That's the second time that it's mentioned here. And the third time, "And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there." So, for that was the great high place. He didn't do it in Jerusalem. He did do it in Gibeon. And the Lord is patient. He even came to Solomon. He saw the love to the Lord. It seems that the Lord is overlooking these things that were wrong, forbearing him. But oh, he brought himself in danger, because he ended up to go to the high places, to make high places for the idols of all his women. And here you see already the danger that he didn't completely do what the Lord wanted him to do. But he had a heart that was loving the Lord. And maybe you are confused now. You say, well, how is it possible that a child of God can live such a life? But if you know your own heart, you know that we have that fight, like we have been reading for from the form of the administration of the Lord's Supper, that we experience it in ourselves. We are laying in the midst of death, and we seek our life outside of ourselves in Christ. So you will experience that you are not perfect in this life, and you will feel sad about that. You have to pray and to watch. And maybe you still have that question that you say, but is Solomon saved? Yeah. Yeah. He has written those books of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Oh, then we become aware that he knew what salvation was about. That he knew salvation in his own life and heart. He is saved. But we would have loved to see a psalm like Psalm 51. like his father, was writing after he sinned, or 32, or some like 130, out of the depths I cry unto thee, O Lord. And we do not read such a psalm from Solomon at the end of his life. But we know that he must have repented about his sins. But what we see is that the Lord worked in his life. When you read in the 2 Samuel chapter 12, then we read, and David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went unto her, and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, Prince of Peace. And the Lord loved him. And the Lord loved him. It's the reason that Solomon is saved. It was the work of the Lord in his life. That the Lord was the first one to love Solomon. And then the fruit we can read, and Solomon loved the Lord. I don't think it's written from any other king in Scripture in such a clear and powerful way. And Solomon loved the Lord. Can you say that? Do you ever say that to the Lord? O Lord, I love thee with my whole heart. Thou art the first one for me. I cannot live without thee. Why is that love there, if it is there in your heart? Well, I told you already. Because the Lord was the first one. He loved Solomon. And John is writing that in his letters. We love him because he first loved us. You see that? Do you think about the Lord Jesus? Do we think about what Christ was doing, coming down from heaven in a dark world full of enemies, to die, to be hated, to be forsaken by his Father, to be cursed, all the things that I deserve because of my sin? Oh, what an unspeakable love. It's shown here, the Lord willing, next week on the table of the covenant. The bread and the wine as signs of his body and blood. His blood that he shed upon the cross to wash my dirty soul from all my sins. I love the Lord because he loved me first. That's the only foundation, the only reason of salvation. It is the work of God. And it will be seen. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. Although we are not perfect, it will be seen in a desire for obedience, in a willingness to sacrifice. He didn't sacrifice 10 burnt offerings or 50 or 100, but 1,000. So strong was the fire of love to the Lord burning in his heart. Can you imagine that? 1,000? You ever seen cattle? 1,000 animals? He burned them. It was huge, showing how much he loved the Lord. And then the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and said, "Ask what I shall give thee." Yeah. So what sacrifices are there in your life for the Lord? It can be totally different. Maybe you had to give up something to serve the Lord. Maybe you lost friends because you want to serve the Lord. Oh yeah, Solomon was in danger. By going to those high places, that's something like serving the Lord. But still there was something, do it in your own way. That's a danger. Do it in your own way, the way you like to do it. And he ended up to serve other gods.
in that way. And you see the difference after the Lord had appeared to him. We read in verse 14, "And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream, and he came to Jerusalem, as the place that the Lord had pointed to his people, given by David to his people. And then we see Solomon stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. Then he's at the right place. After the Lord appeared to him, that made a difference. Now he is doing it where he should do it. Yeah, what a wonder that sinners like Solomon and you and I can be saved and will be saved. Not because of that 1,000 sacrifices. Not because of all the tears that we will cry about our sins. Not because of what we sacrifice to the Lord. Those 1,000 burnt offerings couldn't save Solomon. No. No. Yeah, he went to that high place, Gibeon. But you know what the Lord did? He brought his son out of Jerusalem to another high place, to Golgotha. And there upon the cross, there's that one sacrifice made forever. Enough to save all that would believe in Christ from all their sins. Like Solomon was saved by that one sacrifice of the Lamb of God that Christ as that great high priest himself made as a perfect satisfaction for all sins. Oh, and that is still so powerful to save you and me. Do you know that? Did you find peace in that one sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Let us pray together. Oh Lord, gracious God, we need Christ. He is everything. He is all. All we need. Oh yeah, then we will make sacrifices if we know him. But all those sacrifices that we made, that we make, cannot save our souls. Not our own righteousness, not our own good works, not our own sacrifices, not our tears, nothing. Only Christ. That sacrifice that thou hast prepared in thine only begotten beloved Son, to save sinners like Solomon, because thou loved him, and that's why he loved thee, O Lord. Oh, that we receive that fire of love in our hearts more and more, so that all unrighteousness will be burnt, and will that we will hate it and abhor, that we will loathe ourselves before thee, to give thee all the glory, O Lord, to exalt thee. Give us a blessed week of preparation for the Lord's Supper, that thou wouldst apply that knowledge so that we will have an understanding heart. Forgive us our sins, O Lord. Everything is not according to thine holy will, O Lord. But bless thy holy word to our hearts. Help us in teaching the catechism and Sunday school classes. Work in all hearts, O Lord. The hearts of the children, how good it is to know thee while we are still young. To receive a humble heart, a willing heart. To serve thee and sacrifice ourselves to thee. Lord, we thank thee for thy goodness. that we know this gospel, that we can hear it proclaimed time and again. Oh, we need it so much. Bless it to our souls. Thou art worthy to receive all the honor, praise and glory in all eternity, in heaven and on earth. Oh, that a day might come, that every knee will bow, and every mouth will confess Thee. Lord, forgive us. Help us, we pray it all. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.